And Carolina Hurricanes captain Jordan Staal re-signed with the Canes for another 4 years this weekend. There was only one man that I could think to talk to break it down this contract and this signing. And he is our next guest. Now I'm like, I wish I had done that. I wish I had told Rory, hey, just come on, and I'm going to pretend like you are a hockey analyst, and you can just do whatever you want in response, and it probably would have been pretty fun. But instead, I'm going to talk to comedian, actor, golfer, native Carolinian, even if it's, you know, not North Carolinian. And he's on Instagram, at Rory Scovel. Check him out, RoryScovel.com. You can check him out in person. July 26th at the Comedy Zone in Charlotte. The 27th at the Orange Peel in Asheville. Super cool spot. July 28th at the Carolina Theater in Durham. Also another cool spot. I'm sure the Comedy Zone in Charlotte is too. I just don't know it. A star of screen, small, large, and streaming. It is the comedian Rory Scovel. Rory, how you doing, sir?
These hockey contracts are out of control.
No,
it's ridiculous what they're doing to this league.
I wouldn't know
enough to even improvise that bit.
No, we like him now, and the tide is turning. Actually, the people actually recognize that. Like, no, wait. Owners have billions and billions of dollars, and we should root for them to have to give more of it away to players. So that that take is evolving. I'll let you evolve that.
I couldn't agree more. Thanks for having me on. I appreciate this. I myself almost forgot I had that many dates coming up on my tour until I heard you.
Dude,
heard you say them. I was like, oh, that's right. I am going to be in these places.
You're grinding, and these are back-to-back-to-back nights. Like, I would love nothing more than to take you down to Pinehurst to one of the super cool courses that many of my friends belong to. But you grind. In the NBA, they do a thing called load management where dudes just take nights off even though their team's playing. Yeah, there's no load management. Like, you're doing these night after night after night.
Just go. Yeah, it's I would love to play Pinehurst. I'm in Atlanta now shooting a movie, and I just played Eastlake 2 weeks ago, and it was so magical. It was fun. It was great.
Do you watch golf?
Pinehurst would be fun, though.
Do you watch golf?
I do. Yeah, I love it. I'm obsessed. I think I got obsessed in the spring of 2015. Perfect timing. It was right before my daughter was born, so I was able to pick up a very expensive, time-consuming hobby just before I was needed the most.
And did you watch golf prior to picking up the playing of it, or is that, have they kind of gone hand in hand?
No, I went and played. I mean, I played here and there a little bit through college and after college, but when I started stand-up, I didn't really play at all, and I never really cared about it. And then I played par three randomly in 2015, and something clicked, and from that point on, I started watching every weekend. I started getting to know who the players were. I started having opinions on the fashions. I knew what everyone's endorsements were. I was in deep. I'm not as in deep anymore, but I still throw it on every weekend almost.
All right. And you're, we can debate the level of celebrity, but I think it's no doubt that you're a celebrity. So you want to do you know some golfers? Are you friends with PGA golfers?
You know, Bill Haas. A friend of mine from Greenville, South Carolina, that I've gotten to know later as an adult. But I went to high school with his sister, or his wife and her sister in Greenville, South Carolina. So, yeah, I've played with him a couple times, and he's a great, great dude.
He is a good dude. I think we've had him on this show. I think the Haas family has a connection to Wake Forest. If he didn't go there, some other Haas.
I think he did go to Wake Forest.
I think he did, too. All right, so one of the things I also find interesting about you is you're probably better at golf than you would let on. You're definitely a better athlete than you would let on because, unless your Wikipedia page is lying, you played college soccer and you played a bunch of other sports. I'm always just curious from a human perspective that you seem to play a lot of sports and obviously get enjoyment out of them, but aren't that much of a sports fan. Have you ever pondered on that, or have ever broken down why you like playing sports but not watching them?
Absolutely. First off, there's no lying on Wikipedia pages. Those are honest resources for information. Everyone needs to know that. I did. I played soccer from 5 to 23, played in college, pretty obsessed with it. Not as much anymore, obviously, physically. I don't do it as much. But I think the reason I didn't really follow sports Because I grew up in Greenville, South Carolina, and at the time, if you wanted to cheer for a professional team, you, like, cheered for the Braves, or you cheered for the Falcons or the Hawks.
Sure.
And then, you know, later on, you could vote for the Hornets or the Panthers. And I don't think I ever had an attachment to a professional team's identity and my own. And so I never cared. I cheered for the Braves during the 90s, and that was a lot of fun. That was the most fun time to cheer for them. But I think as I've moved to a bunch of different cities, it's been hard to kind of develop any specific fandom or loyalty to a team because I just didn't grow up with it. I'd rather be doing it than watching it.
No, that's fair enough. I think the emotional connection, you know, oh, my dad is so into the Sox. So that, you know, I remember him yelling at the TV when I was five, I think.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that's a connection that people get or whatever. Yeah.
Yeah, that was basically mine with Atlanta, more so the Braves than any of the other teams. But yeah, even like the Clemson Carolina college football rivalry, I don't think I attached to it because at the time I never really cared about football. I only played soccer, and I really only kind of watched soccer and basketball. And so that rivalry, even though it's there in general, you know, you don't think about it as much with like college basketball, Clemson versus Carolina. You just kind of associate it mainly with football. And I think I just never developed a loyalty to either side.
All right. I'm going to give you a hint because I know you like, I obviously watch and follow your work. One of the things you like to do is like sort of, you know, make your audience uncomfortable, squirm and angry sometimes. So just keep referring while you're in Asheville, Charlotte, and especially when you're over there in Durham, bring up the University of South Carolina over and over again, but continually refer to it as Carolina. Please do this.
Yes, absolutely.
Please do this.
What's thrown me off, less so now, but, you know, my family and I, we all live in Los Angeles for the University of Southern California. So the amount of times I've said USC,
yes.
And I'm not talking about Southern California, and someone's like, they're looking at me and they're like, no, I don't think they play them this year. And I'm like, yeah, they're playing this Saturday. like, what are you talking about?
Yeah. What is the difference between living in California and South Carolina? I should have phrased that question better, but do you ever long to be back in your roots? It's a different lifestyle, I assume, in L.A.
Yes, it's a different lifestyle. I mean, it's you know, L.A. is a very populated city, but California, I think, and maybe this is just me being an idiot, but I don't think I realized how the nature and the natural beauty of California as a state was on a whole. I just never really thought about mountains or anything landscape like that. So I think luckily for me, you know, the amount of nature that you can get into in the Southeast, specifically, you know, Georgia, South Carolina, North Carolina, especially, you kind of can fill that cup out in California with the nature out there. But I think overall, Los Angeles is just a massive city. So it's fun to get back to the Southeast, to a city like Greenville, where what they consider traffic is laughable.
Yes, but I imagine Greenville is one of the cities that's been on the come up. I imagine, like, when you are gone for a year or two and you come back, it's like, whoa, we got this now. Whoa, we got this now. Like,
oh, yeah.
Greenville's happening.
It's a wildly, downtown especially. I mean, it's a wildly different city from when I grew up there. Especially there's so many brand new condominiums going up in Greenville. I don't even know who actually will live in all of them, but, it's a completely different place, from when I was there, you know, 20 years ago.
Rory Scovel, check him out and get tickets. RoryScovel.com. Again, you got three chances to see him in North Carolina, July 26th at the Comedy Zone in Charlotte, which I'm sure is great, but I've just never been there. The Orange Peel in Asheville is a super cool spot, July 27th. That's a great place. Great concert, comedy, everything. Just cool spot. And the Carolina Theater, the 28th in Durham. Get those tickets at RoryScovel.com. It says you're calling this tour the last tour, and I felt personally offended by this because I just bought a theater, and it's like, wait a minute, you can't do the last tour when I just got in the business of trying to have you come to a comedy show. Is it truly the last tour, or is that an ironic name?
You know, there's a little irony there, but, you know, there's a little bit of drama that can be added with any element of comedy to mix it up a little bit and even things out. So, yeah, I think this is called the last tour because I was touring right before COVID, and I had an intention of shooting that material for a special, and then obviously we all know everything shut down and went away for a little while. So I think that was the first time I realized, oh, this stand-up gig can kind of go away. So there's a little bit of drama to the title of of this one where it could be the last tour, and I don't even know it's going to be the last
tour.
A little element of that.
I like it.
Yeah.
Do comedians still do radio anymore? I feel like this is, like, can you get away, like, but to never have to do radio by doing podcasts? Because it feels like back in the day, that was the big, oh, so-and-so's in town, go see him at the Lab Shack, and you're on, like, the morning radio.
Is that
still a thing?
Yeah. I've been doing some. Yeah, okay. I've been doing some. I've been popping in on, shows like this one, or I think it's less, and I like this more. It's a little less morning radio, although it can be. But, yeah, I think for the most part, it can be podcasts. It can be people just promoting through social media. But, you know, there's still the element of going into a radio station in the morning or calling in the afternoon. And, you know, you got people in their car when they like to listen to shows, or if they're at work listening to the radio, like whatever time people decide to ingest, you know, what it is we do for entertainment, you know, it can move some tickets. People might discover a comedian they've never heard of and decide to come and check out the show. And if they decide to do that right now, just know that it's very R-rated. It's a lot of fun.
All right. So I'm going to ask you this, and this could backfire because you could be like, no, actually, I love it when radio hosts do this. But I was thinking of like typical, you know, as you think of it, like annoying radio hosts. Like I'm trying to be the opposite. I'm trying to be like, no, I care about Rory the person, right? I want to hear what's going on in your life. So what's the more annoying radio interview tactic? Would it be A, trying to get you to do jokes, like me being like, hi, has the humidity in North Carolina something, huh? What? You know, trying to walk you into jokes that I know you already do. If I'm like, tell me what your thoughts on concrete, Rory, you know, like that. Or,
right.
Or number three, is it A, B, or C, trying out their material on you? Like, hey, you know, they're clearly trying to like riff and be like, I'm funny too, right? Like, what, A, B, or C, what's the worst radio comedian interview tactic?
I mean, it probably varies for everybody. For me personally, I am not great at rolling right into my actual stand-up jokes on the spot in a context that's different than being on stage.
Right.
So probably that. Like, I could sit through anybody trying to be funny, and I, you know, I could roll with those punches. But yeah, sometimes the best radio is when you just come on and you just are yourself, and you just get to be your usual funny natural self. And if people kind of find that appealing, you hope they come out to the show. But yeah, anytime you try to force the jokes, I find it, I always joke that that's people calling the radio station to try to return their tickets for the show.
Speaking of being yourself, one of the things that's super cool that I've seen you done, in addition to all the other cool comedy stuff you do, is you've gotten into art, like painting. How'd you discover that as an interest / talent?
I was doing it a little bit before the pandemic. Then the pandemic happened, and, you know, we were all trying to figure out how to pass the time and kind of occupy ourselves and do something that we've maybe never tried. And we have a bunch of friends who are artists and painters. So my wife and I and my daughter, we all just got some canvases, and we started painting, and I just got obsessed with it. I was doing it enough to where I really started to like the paintings. And now, you know, I feel like I think in any art form, there's sort of getting over that hump of, do I think this is actually any good, and starting to like kind of believe in yourself as an artist. And I got over that hump during the pandemic, and now I do it for my own sanity, but it has turned into selling them as well. So it's been like a really fun, random thing that kind of grew out of the pandemic.
It's super cool, and it just seems super authentic, and just makes you a cooler dude, man. Are you excited about being back on the East Coast? I assume you're excited about doing a show in Greenville. Are you doing a show in Greenville? I was only looking at the North Carolina stuff.
Closest we get is Asheville. Greenville's probably going to pop in later on the tour. We'll add that later, probably a Charleston date. But yeah, this one we were like, hey, we got Charlotte, Asheville, Durham. Like, let's go and hit up those markets first, and we can add the others later. But I'm always thrilled. I'm in Atlanta shooting this movie, and I just popped into Asheville with my family to go to Sliding Rock and hang out and in downtown Asheville, and it's one of my favorite cities. So actually, that's where you and I have probably hung out the most, maybe, or in D.C.-ish area.
There and in D.C., yes. You actually filmed a sports pilot with us where we were just like telling you feeding you what to say, and you were just being amazingly. Do you know Bamani Jones?
Yes.
He's got a show on HBO now, and Will Brinson was another guy that was in that. He's like the head NFL writer. Our show was trash because I was writing most of it, but I'm like, once a year, I want to hit up these CBS people and be like, hey, see this incredibly successful actor, comedian, and then this like guy who's got a show on HBO now, and then the other like NFL writer. Like, I had them all together. We could have probably could have worked it out, but anyway, it only
always the case. Yeah.
It only would have slowed you down. Check out his Netflix specials. Check out his show Physical on Apple TV right now. I'm not going to list all his movie creds and TV show creds, but check out his great work. He's a comedian. He's an actor. He's a golfer. But seriously, he's just a super cool, authentic dude. He does painting. He keeps it real with his man Daniel Van Kirk on the Pen Pals Pod, which I always enjoy. And he's coming to North Carolina.
Oh, thank you.
Three dates later in July. Go to RoryScovel.com. It's Rory, S-C-O-V-E-L.com. Rory, I appreciate the time. I really do. Now that I know that you're coming back to Charleston and Greenville, I am absolutely going to bug you and see if we can get a rally date, even though my theater's kind of small. But even if even if you can't come there, I'm trying to get you to Pinehurst. I can't get you on, like, Pinehurst number two, although sometimes... Honestly, sometimes the people at Pinehurst will be listening, and I'll get a message right after this that'll say, no, tell them to come down. But I can get you on Country Club of North Carolina, which is some of those courses are nicer than the Pinehurst one, so I can hook you up with that.
I love that. That'd be awesome. Thank you.
Enjoy the travel. We will see you in the Carolinas soon, man, and thank you so much for the time today. Appreciate it.
I'm going to see you very soon. All right, bud. Love you, man.
On
talk to you later.
Instagram at Rory Scovel, RoryScovel.com. He does great work. You should check out, buy his tickets, RoryScovel.com right now. I will try and catch the show at the Carolina Theater. If I would, I would go catch that Orange Peel show at Ashland. I'm trying to think the last.
It's fun.
Music show I've seen there. I feel like I saw somebody cool there, and I can't think of who it is off the top of my head. But
I saw Kill Switch Engage a long time ago there. It's probably not the genre
Switch Engage?
Yeah.
They sound lovely.
It's very lovely.
I'm sure it was like a peaceful show.
It was.
One guy with a guitar, with acoustic,
yep.
With guitar.
Huge
and a few
yeah.
violins. That's what it sounds like. Yeah. What was that name? Kill Switch Engage.
Yeah.
Man, you like some hard stuff, Victoria. Your sports,
it helps. It's a balance.
Your sports and your
music.
You go hard.